INSEAD has had a few very busy months recently. Let's learn what's been going on at the Business School for the World and glean a few admissions tips as well. Welcome to the 285th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, except it's a podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. I'd like to thank the sponsor of today's podcast, and that is today, it's Accepted. Today, November 13th through November 20th, Accepted is discounting all its regular services, and you choose the size of the discount. $100 off orders over $1,000, $200 off orders over $2,000, $500 off orders over $5,000. The coupon code is SAVENOW, and the URL where you can take advantage of this is, you guessed it, www.accepted.com. Now, in the last 20 plus years that I have been an admissions consultant, graduate, and especially business education has gone global. No school exemplifies that trend as much as INSEAD, which was founded in France, but today has campuses in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East, as well as partnerships with Wharton in the US, Tsinghua University in China, and the Sorbonne in France. It's my pleasure today to have on the show Virginie Fugia, Director of MBA Recruitment and Admissions at INSEAD. She began working at INSEAD shortly after I put Accepted on the web way back in 1996. She also participated in Accepted's old text-only chats, typing madly away at the time. In 2012, she became the Associate Director of Admissions at INSEAD, and on the day that I last interviewed her for the podcast about 3 years ago, she officially became Director of Admissions at INSEAD. I'm so pleased to have Virginie back as a guest on Admissions Straight Talk. Virginie, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Can you give an overview of INSEAD's full-time MBA program for those listeners who just aren't quite that familiar with it?
Yes, sure. INSEAD was founded back in 1957 by somebody called Georges Doriot, a French national and a graduate from Harvard and a professor there, actually. And he came back to France, to Europe, post-Second World War, and decided to promote peace and prosperity in Europe. And the idea behind that was using a common business school where with different European countries working together, and he thought that would help. And this is why French and German and English were at the time required languages, which is no longer the case now. We just require English. And INSEAD does not belong to any government or entity. It's a private institution and a non-profit organization, which enables us to start new initiatives pretty easily. And from the very beginning, the program was designed to be taught in 1 year. So it has always been a one-year program. And we now have 500 students per class, and we have two intakes a year, one starting in January and one in August. And students use the three campuses we have in France, one in France, in a city called Fontainebleau, which is outside 60 kilometers outside of Paris, and in Singapore and in Abu Dhabi as well.
Wow. Okay. So you are the business school for the world. Now, you and I spoke a couple of weeks ago, and before we turn to admissions tips, I'd like you to share with listeners some of the exciting recent developments at INSEAD, and you've certainly, and the school has been really busy lately. Let's start with a 40 million euro gift from André Hoffmann. I guess he was an alum of INSEAD, graduating the class of 90. Can you tell us how INSEAD will use the money?
Yes. So this very generous gift, the first one in INSEAD, the largest one in INSEAD history so far, will hopefully enable us to, so it has enabled us to launch the Global Institute for Business and Society. We just launched it this week and over the last weekend. And the Institute will be a transformative, hopefully, experience. So we hope to develop new theoretical frameworks, new strategies, new analytical tools, or even new business models, or why not new ways of teaching and disseminating knowledge around the world. So the aim is to really align business with the values of those who lead those businesses and align them with the society they serve. So again, coming back to this vision of George Doriot and the founders at the beginning to promote peace and prosperity, the idea is that we hope that future leaders who come at INSEAD from everywhere in the world will be, and who are involved in businesses, will deliberately account for societal and environmental impact in their decision. And we hope with this to hopefully bring value to the society and to the environment, and hopefully have this embedded within any decision from leaders in the world.
So is the hope, you're going to, obviously they funded the center, and mm-hmm. we're going to get to the change in INSEAD's branding in a minute. Is the idea that this social impact component will become an integral part of the INSEAD curriculum? Or is it?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Hopefully everywhere in all the courses. Yes, indeed. Okay. And why not also having a campus which in the future will be green, so using less energy, for example. So Singapore and the Singapore facility has been rebuilt on this model, and the Fontainebleau campus will soon be as well. It's one element, it's one example, but yes, indeed, in the courses, we hope to bring more of these elements, yes.
All right. And the center will, I assume it'll be doing research and such, but it's going to be the focus for this element in INSEAD's brand, and then it'll go out. And will it be located in both Singapore and Fontainebleau, or
hopefully,
all three campuses? Or
yes, hopefully, yes.
Okay. Can you also tell us about IW50, the 50th anniversary of INSEAD admitting the first woman to its program?
Yes, exactly. So 50 years ago, we admitted the first two women on an MBA program. We were one of the first business schools to do that and meet women on the program, on an MBA program, which sounds crazy today when when you realize this.
Not that long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago, indeed. And we wanted to recognize all the women and the leadership of women in the world, and hopefully through different events, we wanted to influence the way how both men and women conceive women as leaders. We teach and we bring people from everywhere in the world and from countries where, unfortunately, women do not have the same rights or the same access to education or to work. And by having these celebrations, we wanted to, why not, hopefully, advance women in leadership roles. And this is part of our role as well.
I'm actually looking it up as we're talking, but approximately what percentage of, it's about a third women right now. So obviously, over time, it's increased dramatically from zero to a third.
It has. And we are now closer to 40%, between 35%, 34%. It depends on the classes. Obviously, because we admit we have 500 students, it's still a huge proportion of women. So that's more than 180 women, for example, in some classes. So it's gone far indeed, as you say.
Right. Now, the last developed that I noticed in preparing for the call was that on October 1st, INSEAD announced an evolution of its mission and branding to "We bring together people, cultures, and ideas to develop responsible leaders who transform business and society." So the first question, when there's an evolution or a change like this, is why the change? I guess, what was the mission previously and why feel the need to evolve?
Well, the brand has always evolved to reflect the ever changing world, right? And we from European school post Second World War to a global school based on three different continents, we felt the need to why not reflect on that and see whether that was still aligned. And we realized that indeed, with the opening of the Global Institute for Business and Society, it's aligned, and it's indeed with, again, with this idea, as the dean says, to that we are a mission-driven school. We have to bring people together. We have to teach people on how to do business together for greater impact and greater return to societies, to populations, to the environment. So this logo and this brand is fully aligned with our roots and our current mission as well.
Okay. And what are the implications of this? Is this change reflecting perhaps what's going on in the student body at INSEAD, or is it supposed to herald a change in direction for the school, or both?
Well, it's a confirmation of our values of tolerance, diversity. It aligns, so it doesn't have an immediate impact or implication, but it clearly states to the world that we truly believe in diversity being a force for good, and business as a force for good, linked to that, obviously. So we have always admitted many different nationalities, people from different cultures, with different religion, with different sexual orientation, with different passions, with different professional background, and we want to obviously promote that. That's part of the values of the school, and hence having this fully aligned with the branding at the moment.
Just to reinforce Virginia's message of the diversity of the class, there are 94 nationalities in the class profile of 2018. I'm looking at the facts online. And if you have 500 people in each to intake, and they each have roughly 90 different nationalities, so there'll be some overlap, obviously, that's going to create tremendous diversity.
Yes, and very, very interesting discussions.
I can imagine, yes. Now, what are the implications to applicants of this diversity, both on campus in terms of your commitment to diversity, as well as to business being a force for social good? Mm-hmm. Especially since the concept of social good is not always universal.
Right. But this is what is interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
This is where it becomes really interesting in the classroom discussions. And hence, this is very important for our applicants to be able to express that in their essays. And why is that important for them?
Why is the exposure to different perspectives important to them?
Exactly. Yeah.
That is, yeah. I think that a lot of times applicants, they either think that the school missions are not that revealing or marketing mumbo jumbo. And I think that they do so to do so is a mistake. That most schools are very thoughtful and intentional about their mottos and their missions. And obviously there is overlap between the school's missions and values. Many schools do share similar values, or that can there's overlap in some, and they prioritize different things. I think it's a mistake when applicants dismiss those values and that branding. I think it makes a lot of sense to pay attention to them.
I agree. And it's also that should help applicants select the best school for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because not everyone fits the same, all the schools and vice versa.
So, for example, if an applicant is most comfortable and wants to be comfortable, remain comfortable being in people with people like him or her, that applicant probably would not be very happy at INSEAD.
That's a true comment. Yes. It's indeed, the idea is indeed to learn from the others, to challenge your thinking or their thinking. Indeed. Yes.
And to get outside that very cliched comfort zone.
Indeed. And then be adaptable and flexible to any sort of situation that their careers will push towards them. Indeed. And that's what the recruiters tell us when they come. They recruit at INSEAD, and they tell us that they find people who are adaptable and flexible. And I think this is part of it. This is thanks to the richness of the diversity that we have on campus.
Right. It's probably a little bit of a virtuous cycle. You attract people who are adaptable and flexible, and who want a diverse, rich classroom experience. And obviously then you encourage that further, you develop that quality further, those qualities further, and then the recruiters find those qualities. So it's
very true.
Like I say, it's a virtuous circle. Now let's turn to the application for just a second. Again, one of the things that I believe applicants mistakenly look at the application, and they see kind of these random elements. Where I look at them and I talk to admissions directors, and I see a lot of intent behind each of the elements. So I'd like to go through the functions of the different elements in the INSEAD application. Now, first you have your online application, which includes the job description, questions, the motivation, essays. Can you go through the why behind those elements? And we'll go to later on into the CV, the letters of rec, and the video interview.
So the first piece that you highlight is the job description, but I agree it's a good one. The job description questions are sometimes seen as essays, or people wonder what to put here. And here, this one will help us understand that will come into the picture of the leadership potential. And why not, to some extent, to the ability to contribute during the program to the classroom discussions, for example. So in the job description question, people need to speak about the nature of their work, and they should feel free to use concrete and specific examples. Again, it's not an essay. We see sometimes bullet points or just very simple sentences where people give us the structure of the company, the market they operate in, the ecosystem. They will describe the product. And sometimes when the applicants work for a family business or a small and medium-sized company, it's very helpful when they give us this sort of dimensions. For multinationals, obviously, we have a better understanding of the ecosystem, so in which case people go quickly to the description of their day-to-day activities. And we also have a question which is very important as well, and sometimes people miss it. It's the last question, the fifth one, where we ask if you are not currently working, what are you doing? And this is very important to be honest here, because otherwise that there might be inaccuracy or gap in the CV, and that's obviously worrisome for the admissions committee.
Right, for sure.
And the other thing are the motivation essays, which I know are seen as the most challenging aspect, yet they are crucial and we do read them from A to Z. And together with the videos, people should really see that as the unique opportunity to introduce themselves. So in the essays, it's really where people explain their achievements, the motivation for the program. And here, coming back to the values of INSEAD, we want people to be able to explain their thinking patterns, their value set, and by finding content in their personal stories, they should be able to do that. They should be able to explain that, hopefully. And hence, the essays are very personal, maybe very personal. They are rarely related to professional experiences here. And because we select from a variety of profiles, from traditional business routes to other humanities, medical, military background, here we are very keen on understanding who is the person behind, because there are no obvious profile for INSEAD and no standard template here, or no perfect mold to which people need to fit.
Mm-hmm. No cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the job descriptions for a second, there obviously the applicants will be talking about the professional life. And you mentioned that you want to see through those responses how they can contribute to the classroom. Obviously, one way to show that, well, no, it's not so obvious, having read a few essays over the last 20 years, it's not so obvious, but they should be emphasizing how they've contributed on the job if they want you to see how they can contribute in class, right? It's not just the job description, it's what they've actually accomplished in the job that is going to make a difference. Am I correct on that?
This is true. So it's a description of the past successes, indeed. It's also, it doesn't need to be a list of achievements or mm-hmm. or successes. It's more a description of day-to-day activities.
Okay.
And by having the career progression, mm-hmm. we understand that the person is valued in the company or has been valued by a new company hiring them, or has been valued by being given new challenges or another mission. Do you see what I mean? It's also by just explaining the career path and the progression that we get an understanding of that as well.
Sure. No, I hear that. Obviously, if they've been entrusted with increasing responsibility, then they've been contributing.
Exactly. Very true.
Okay. So I understand. Okay, good point. Now let's move on to the supporting documentation, the CV, the letters of rec, and the video interview.
So for the CV, we ask for the CV because we want people to have already started to think about the job search during the MBA program. So some people have not written a CV since the end of their undergrad studies, and they have been working 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years in the same company without the need to write a new CV. So this is the reason for having a CV. It also helps some people to give us more information about their activities, their responsibilities. So it complements, if you wish, a little bit the application form. Mm-hmm. And we provide a template for the CV, a template which will be used for the and distributed to the company recruiting at INSEAD. So that's really this objective of having people already get started on this. But if people want to use another CV, 2-page, 3-page long, that's fine. That's not required, a compulsory thing. For the letters of recommendation, here is the first thing that people need to understand is they need to select people who know them really well in their day-to-day activities, in their job, because the letters of recommendation have questions related to the leadership potential again and to the ability to contribute. So it's important that people can describe how they are and how they contribute to teamwork, how they communicate in the company, the sort of skills that we need to see there. So for the letters of recommendation, ideally professional context. And also, one thing with our application form is that people can trigger the link to their recommender from the very beginning. So when they open an application form, they can immediately trigger the link, and then they can work for a month or two on their application form. And it's good to give time to their recommenders to also fill in the form, but also to guide them to say, look, this is the reason why I would like to apply for INSEAD. This is the reason why I want to do an MBA. And if they don't do that, sometimes the letters of recommendation are not as interesting as informative as they could be, because they're just the recommender is not fully aware of the applicant plan, right, and why the MBA and why INSEAD. And it's a little bit of a missed opportunity. So it's good to also guide your recommenders and say and explain. And if the application to INSEAD is confidential to recommenders, to your employer, sorry, then you may want to go to recommenders that have worked with you before in previous positions, in previous companies, or go to a customer, for example, that works as well. And for the video interviews, it's very similar to what we discussed earlier on the motivation essays. It's really the possibility to introduce yourself. It's again about leadership. It's again about the motivation for the program. And people get it very well, this exercise of the video interviews. We see very, very good videos.
How much of the video essay is part of the reason behind the video essay to, sorry, there's a plane going overhead. Is part of the purpose of the video essay to see how well the applicant speaks English or the kind of presence they have, or even to both?
All this. The video interviews is an amazing tool for applicants to shine, to show a lot of things. We get an understanding of the communication skills, indeed. Sure. We get an understanding of the motivation for the program. We get a lot of things that are subtle, which are nearly related to soft skills. Body language, absolutely. And the video interviews is really it shouldn't be seen as a barrier to entry. It's another element that we consider. So if the interview didn't go as well as you had hoped, for some reason, like the plane over your head.
Right.
A lot noisier than
in other words, remember to close the windows when you do it.
a lot noisier than this one. But it's just, if people are distracted by something like this, it's fine. It's perfectly acceptable. And the way they react to this is also gives us information, right? So the video interviews are definitely not a barrier to entry. It's on the contrary, it's an additional information to who is the applicant.
Okay. All right. What can an applicant expect in an INSEAD interview? So they've been evaluated, the video has been watched, and now they're invited to interview. What happens? What happens then?
So for the interviews, they are conducted by alumni. It's quite specific to INSEAD. We want our alumni to be part of the process because we want the applicants to be able to ask questions to the alumni. They have experienced the program. They know what it takes. They know what it brought to them in terms of personal experiences, in terms of professional advancement. So it's really the idea is to have an exchange and a conversation between an alumni and an applicant. And the alumni will see the applicant as if they were in their group, as if they were together on the program. And how would this person, again, contribute to the program? What is this person going to share with the rest of the classroom?
Okay.
And that's the reason. So that's the reason for having alumni. Also because, again, because of the diversity of INSEAD and the fact that people are coming from many different countries, we rely on our alumni who are based in those countries to interview. So applicants do not need to travel to Fontainebleau or Singapore for the interviews, mm-hmm. To be interviewed by admissions representatives. And that's also done with, we are very careful of potential cultural biases, and hence having the interviewers who are local, who may be foreigners, but who live in the country where the applicant is based, then you get rid of, you can be aware of those potential biases. And it's not a French person, for example, interviewing a Lebanese or or a Russian person. It can be, but it could also be somebody from local who understand the local culture. So people can really express themselves, explain what it is in the country to progress, and the alumni will have a good understanding of that.
Are the interviews conducted in English or in the native language of the applicant, or does it depend?
Either way, they can be in the native language of the applicant, again, mm-hmm. to avoid any potential bias, or in English. So we also want part of it in English, ideally, but it's fine to also use the native language of the applicant or of the interviewer if they speak the same language.
Yeah.
And you will have always systematically. So it's not the random pick. So the admissions officer who are in charge of the applicant will carefully select the interviewers. It's not just a random pick on who is available. It's more than just who is available. It's also probably somebody who has graduated a few years ago. And somebody who is more recent, a recent grad, it's likely to be someone from a sector similar to the applicant and someone who is coming from a different, very different sector. It could be a foreigner. It could be, it is very likely to be a woman and a man for mm-hmm. interviewer, a female and a male interviewer, hopefully whenever we can. This sort of of mix to ensure that we don't have biases and that the person can express himself or herself freely mm-hmm. and truly. And we welcome feedback on our interviewers. So when applicants feel that they haven't been able to express fully, we understand that. We are happy to organize another interview or to receive feedback from our interviewers as well. So it's really both ways.
Okay. What advice do you have for an applicant planning to submit, let's say, by the January 9th, the round 3 deadline, or for the September 2019 mm-hmm. intake, which I think there's one more deadline after that also, or for the February 20th deadline, which would be the round 1 January 2020 intake, basically the winter deadlines?
The first thing that is true at INSEAD and I'm often asked to confirm by prospects and by applicants is if they stand more chances if they apply round one, and we don't have any system of early bird or early application. So we know the quality we're looking for, and there will still be places offered round 4. The only difference with the round 4 is that there are less to non-scholarship offered because that doesn't match the scholarship committee's decision or the donor's deadlines. So if someone heavily relies on scholarship, we will encourage this person to avoid the round 4. Other than this, and also because it's close to the start of the date, so we know that it's a substantial investment. So we know that people have to put the financial plans, the finances together. So if it's too close, the final decision deadline is too close to the start of the program for ones to be fully organized, then I encourage people to not apply for round 4. Other than this, we will have places round 4.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And what about for applicants planning ahead, let's say for the September 2020 intake or later? They know they want an MBA. They know that they really want to go to INSEAD. The diversity appeals to them. The internationalism appeals to them. Maybe they want to study on all three of your campuses. What advice do you have that would enable those future applicants to optimize their application?
First one that comes to mind is to talk to alumni, okay. If they can. It's a good way to get a feel for the program. If they happen to be in Europe or in Abu Dhabi or in Singapore, we are happy to host them on campus if they can visit us. Other than this, I think it's really start talking to alumni, and why not start thinking of who could be the recommender, the right recommender for putting the best application.
Okay, thank you. What would you have liked me to ask you?
I think this is pretty insightful for prospective applicants, hopefully. We've covered a lot.
You've covered a lot.
I think it's already a good start for prospective applicants. They maybe the last point could be to do not hesitate to reach out to the teams we have. People who are happy to guide applicants. It's easy now through the social media to get in touch with any one of us, and we also have events on campus. So I think that will be maybe the last point.
Okay, sounds good. Virginia, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Where can listeners and potential applicants learn more about INSEAD's MBA program?
They should indeed feel free to visit the www.nca.edu/masterprogram/MBA.
Okay. And we'll include a link in the show notes at exhibit.com/285 to the INSEAD website that Virginia just mentioned, as well as to related articles and show notes. Listener, thank you too for joining Virginia Fujia and me for our 285th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please subscribe. Make sure you don't miss any future shows, be they with admissions directors, professors, current students, test prep pros, or alumni doing great things. Final thanks to today's sponsor, Accepted, which has a Choose Your Discount sale now through November 20th. Again, $100 off orders over $1,000, $200 off orders over $2,000, $500 off orders over $5,000. Thanks again for coming. This is Admissions Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.